Chapter 19. Lord Wraith looked Lara up and down. "That's quite a novel ensemble you're wearing. It's been a busy night." Wraith nodded and went to Inari, gently touching her shoulder, peering at her arm in the makeshift sling. "What happened to you, daughter mine?" Inari lifted eyes, dull with pain and fatigue, and said,
"We were mugged, or something. I think it must have been a gang. That makes sense, doesn't it?"
Wraith didn't hesitate a beat. "Of course it does, dearest." He fixed his eyes on Lara and said, "How could you let something like this happen to your baby sister?"
"Forgive me, father," Lara said.
Wraith waved a generous hand. "She needs medical attention, Lara. I believe hospitals provide such a thing."
"Bruce is here," Lara said. "I'm sure he can take care of it."
"Which is Bruce?" I would have expected her tone to hold annoyance, but if so, I didn't hear it.
"The doctor."
"He came with you from California? How fortuitous." I couldn't take it anymore. "Hey, people, chat time is over. The girl's about to pass out on her feet. Thomas is dying, so both of you shut your mouth and help them." Wraith whipped his head around to stare daggers at me. His voice was cold enough to merit the use of a Kelvin scale. "I do not respond well to demands." I ground my teeth and said,
"Both of you shut your mouth and help them. Please."
And they say I can't be diplomatic. Wraith flicked an irritated hand at the bookend brigade. Bodyguard Kens and Barbies drew their guns in precise unison and raised them to shoot.
"No,"
Lara said. She stepped in front of me and Thomas.
"You can't."
"Can't?" Wraith said. His voice was dangerously mild.
"They might hit Thomas."
"I am confident in their marksmanship. They will not hit him," Wraith said, in a tone that suggested he wouldn't lose any sleep if they did.
"I've invited him," Lara said.
Wraith stared at her for a moment, and then in that same soft voice asked, "Why?"
"Because we declared a 24-hour truce while he assisted us," Lara answered. "If not for his help, we might all be dead."
Wraith's head tilted to one side. He regarded me for a long moment and then smiled. He didn't have Thomas beat when it came to smiles. Thomas's grin had so much life to it that it was practically sentient. Lord Wraith's smile made me think of sharks and skulls. "I suppose it would be churlish to ignore my debt to you, young man. I will honor the truce and respect my daughter's invitation and hospitality. Thank you for your assistance."
"Whatever," I said. "Would you both shut your mouths and help them now? Pretty please, with sugar on top."
"I used to admire that kind of monolithic determination." Wraith waved his hand again, though his eyes looked no less cold. The thugs put their guns away. One man and one woman went to Inari, supporting her and helping her into the house. "Lara, bring your physician to her quarters, if you would, assuming he has mind enough left to treat her." She bowed her head again, and something told me she resented doing it. "I'll expect you and Thomas in my chambers at dawn so that we can discuss what happened. Oh, and if you would, Wizard Dresden."
The King of the White Court knew me on sight. This just kept getting better and better.
"Lara can show you where Thomas's chambers are. That girl of his is there, I think." Lord Wraith drifted into the house, paced by his retainers. By my count, there were still two whole goons available for Thomas toting, but I grunted like a big tough guy and set out to do it myself. We started walking into the house.
"Nice guy," I commented to Lara. I was a little short of breath. and I was all worried about meeting him.
I know, Lara murmured. He was really quite pleasant.
Except for the eyes, I said.
She glanced at me again, something like approval in her features. You saw that?
That's what I do.
She nodded. Then please believe me when I say that deception is what we do, wizard. My father does not like you. I suspect he wishes to kill you.
I get that a lot.
She smiled at me, and I got hit with another surge of lust, maybe one that wasn't entirely inspired by her come-hither mojo. She was a smart, tough lady, and had plenty of courage. I had to respect that. And she was gliding along beside me, dressed in skimpy black lingerie. Admittedly, the blood and ichor detracted from the overall look, but it gave me a good excuse to see the rest of her while making my assessment. We went up a shallow, curving stairwell and down a long hall. I tried to stick mental landmarks into my memory so that I'd be able to leave in a hurry if I needed to. My vision blurred for a moment, and the high-pitched buzzing in my ears increased in volume. I took a breath and steadied myself against the wall. Here, Lara said. She turned to me and took Thomas. Either she was stronger than me, or she was good at acting like it was no big deal. Probably both. I rolled my aching shoulders in relief.
Thanks. How is he?
The bullets aren't going to kill him, she said. He'd have died already. The hunger may finish him, though. I arched an eyebrow at her in question. The hunger, she repeated. Our need to feed. The angel of our darker natures. We can draw upon it to give us a kind of strength, but it's like fire. It can turn on you if you don't keep it under control. Right now, Thomas is so hungry that he can't think, can't move. He'll be all right once he feeds. I felt an itch on the back of my neck and checked over my shoulder. Your father's driver is tailing us. Lara nodded. She'll dispose of the body. I blinked.
I thought you said he was going to be all right.
He will be, Lara said, her tone carefully neutral. Justine won't.
What?
He's too hungry, Lara said. He won't be able to control himself.
Fuck that, I said. That isn't going to happen.
Then he'll die, Lara said tiredly. This is the door to his suite. She stopped at the door, and with my reflexes on automatic pilot, I opened it for her. We went into a rather large room, dominated by a sunken pit in the floor. The carpet was lush, a dark crimson. Pillows were all over, and a smoking brazier rested in the center of the pit. The air was heavy with sweet incense. Quiet jazz drifted through the room from speakers I couldn't see. On the opposite side of the room, a curtain twitched, and then a girl appeared from what was evidently a room beyond. Justine's shoulder-length dark hair had been striped with trendy strands of dark blue and deep purple. She wore a white bathrobe several sizes too large for her and looked rumpled from sleep. She blinked dark, sleepy eyes and then gasped and rushed toward us.
Thomas! My God!
I looked back over my shoulder. The driver stood just outside the doorway, speaking quietly into a cellular phone. Lara carried Thomas down into the pit and carefully laid him upon the pillows and cushions, Justine at her side. The girl's face was twisted in anxiety.
Harry? What happened to him?
Lara glanced up at me and said, I need to make sure Inari is cared for, if you will excuse me. I didn't, but she left the room anyway. Justine stared up at me, fear and confusion on her face.
I don't understand.
Lara shot him, I said quietly, and then some black court gorillas jumped us.
Lara?
Didn't seem like she liked the idea, but she sure as hell gave it a whirl. Lara said he'd spent his reserves fighting, and that he would die if he didn't feed. Justine's eyes flicked up to the doorway. She saw the driver standing outside. Justine's face blanched.
Oh,
she whispered. Tears formed in her eyes.
Oh, no. No. No, she said. My poor Thomas.
I stepped forward. You don't have to do this.
But he'll die.
Do you think he'd want it to be you instead? Her lips trembled and she closed her eyes for a moment.
I don't know. I've seen him. I know there's a part of him that wants to.
And there's another part that doesn't, I said, that would want you to be alive and happy. She settled on her knees beside Thomas, staring down at him. She put her fingers on his cheek, and he moved for the first time since the fight with One Ear. He turned his head and placed a soft kiss on Justine's hand. The girl shivered.
He might not take too much. He tries so hard not to take too much, not to hurt me. He might stop himself.
Do you really believe that? She was silent for a long moment and then said,
It doesn't matter. I can't stand by and let him die when I can help him.
Why not? She looked up at me, her eyes steady.
I love him.
You're addicted to him, I said.
That too, she agreed. But it doesn't change anything. I love him.
Even if it kills you? I asked. She bowed her head, gently stroking Thomas's cheek.
Of course.
I started to refute her, but just then the rush of energy from the silver belt buckle petered out. I started trembling violently. The pain of my injuries rushed back over me. Fatigue settled onto me like a backpack full of lead. My thoughts turned to exhausted sludge. I vaguely remember Justine cajoling me to my feet and guiding me back through one of the curtains to a lavish bedroom. She helped me onto the bed and said,
You'll tell him for me, won't you?
She was crying through a small smile.
You'll tell him what I said? That I love him?
The room was spinning, but I promised her that I would. She kissed my forehead and gave me a sad smile.
Thank you, Harry. You've always helped us.
My vision narrowed to a gray tunnel. I tried to get back up again, but I could barely manage to turn my head. So all I could do was watch Justine slide out of the bathrobe and leave the room to go to Thomas and to her death.